I have two sets of notes up here. I have my rough draft, which I sort of read off to my secretary today to go ahead on and type it. Sometimes I don't understand my own writing, but I brought it because it's a nugget or two I may be able to pull out of it. Now, I started off with the word balanced. You want to turn to the 26th chapter of Matthew. I started off with the word balance, and I want to think about financial pressure. A lot of time, financial pressure is placed on individuals. A lot of time, financial pressure is placed on ministries that should not be. It should be that this building could be paid for just like that. I've watched that in the body of Christ, and I've watched the body of Christ struggle. Now, I'm not saying that this ministry is struggling, but at large, struggle in the area of finances. And it shouldn't be because we have a covenant. I watch individuals struggle in the area of financing. I've been in this business, I've been preaching 25 years, and I came into this revelation not over 5 or 6 years ago. And I watched many years the church, people who are morally living right, love God, but yet cannot get their financial portfolio together. And there's something extremely wrong with that. And we need to dig into the Word of God and the Spirit of God and let the anointing of God reveal to us what we need to do in order to correct this aspect of restoration. Now, in the Old Testament, wealth was a common conversation. If you were not wealthy, it was abnormal. But in the Old Testament, then the Bible in Hebrew say we have a better covenant. So if we have a better covenant, what they had and more besides should be available to us. That's very simple, isn't it? And so wealth wasn't a curse word in the Old Covenant, but it seemed like sometime in the New Testament, you begin to talk about wealth and look like you're putting out a curse word. It's like people don't understand that they have the ability to be wealthy with a reason. Amen. All right? Now, the subject that we're going to talk about tonight will remove all clouds about money. And now let me put a peg there, and I'll come back to that, remove all cloud. Would you agree with me that there are different gifts that God has given to the body of Christ? Okay. Now, I didn't choose how God was going to use me. He made the choice of how he's going to use me. Ed Cole, he chose him to teach about men and teach us how to be real men. And God used him dynamically. Benny Hinn had a combination of the anointing and healing. Well, I have a combination of the anointing and finances, anointing and money, anointing and prosperity. And so I can go down the line, various men and women of God, God has chosen to be a gift to the body of Christ. And God sharpened them in a certain way that whatever area he put them in or placed them in, they'll be able to deliver in such a way that your spirit may be able to partake of it. Amen? Amen. So, you know, the Lord have given me the revelation of money cometh unto the body of Christ. And it has been a blessing to the body of Christ. A lot of people, ministries come out of debt. A lot of homes been paid off. The spirit of debt is being eradicated in people's lives. Ministries begin to think like your pastor think, that we can live without borrowing. There's a lot of things that are taking the world pressure off of us, okay? Now, all the intimidation and the suspicious ideas and the pressures that is put on the body of Christ about money. I came to the Baptist setup and they always was concerned about money. Everybody was suspicious. And then a lot of time people think poverty is holiness. And then nothing holy about being broke. But I believe the four words that I'm going to preach about tonight, And they come under the covering of money coming. The Lord spoke to me. I believe it was a rhema word that he gave me. I'll preach from the subject tonight. But I believe it'll move all doubt about where you should be and how God want to bless you through the covenant. And we're going to go line on line, precept on precept in the word of God. I want to show you some things tonight, because if you don't know how to take it by force, kingdom of heaven suffered violence. For the violence, they take it by force. And you have to take your rights as a covenant child of God. And if you know you're right, you know you're right. Well, how many of y'all know when you know you're right about something, you just know you're right? Well, that's what I want to get you in the area of finance, to know that you're right. And use biblical principle to share it with you. I want you to write this down. Tonight I'm going to talk about money with a mission. Money with a mission. And that'll clap all the aspect of materiality. You know, you just want material thing. No, the covenant made it possible for every believer to carry an anointing to be prosperous with a mission. We need our money to carry out the thing that God have called these visionaries to do. It costs money. Amen? So we're going to begin reading 26th chapter of Matthew. A familiar story, but tonight I believe the Spirit of God is going to take it on an angle that would show us and open some things up to us. Are you here? Yes. All right. Let's begin at the sixth verse. Matthew 26, 6. Say it with me. Money with a mission.
Money with a mission.
That, and I'm going to deal about the wrong relationship with material things and different aspects, so we'll know we've got all that cleared up. And then you can open your heart, because not only am I going to be speaking in word, but there'll be an anointing transmitted in this place tonight for, just like there's an anointing transmitted for healing, there's an anointing that's part of the covenant too, and it's part of the redemption packet, that you be not broke and that you have finance. Amen?
Amen?
Now listen to this story very carefully. I know most of you all know this story, but we're going to pull some points from it tonight that the Holy Ghost has given me to show how important it is that you have your money to answer a request like was made to us tonight. Amen. See, Pastor actually made a request to the body of Christ. He pushed a button on your finances. And you're supposed to be able to answer. And in order for you to answer, you got to have your money.
Amen.
All right, Matthew 26, 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. Underline that, very precious ointment. And in making that statement, it was very expensive, all that she had in that alabaster box. So she had very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now, notice what she did with that very expensive ointment. She poured it on Jesus' head, or she released it in Jesus' ministry. Okay, she released that. She released it in Jesus' ministry. And if you notice in Jesus' ministry, there were, if you mark the 8th chapter of Luke, you'll recognize that there was women who ministered to him with their substance. If you look really in the Greek and Hebrew about substance, it's say money. So Jesus actually had partners in his ministry that supported his ministry financially. And here's a lady right now, she's given a big portion, because this ornament is very precious. And she poured it on Jesus' head. One text said she poured it on his feet and then took her hair and wiped his feet. Now I want you to make a note of that, because we're talking about money with a mission. That woman knew something about covenant mission. Oh, she knew something about kingdom business. Now, God set up certain laws, sowing and reaping, and he said as long as the world exists, those laws will be here. And do not tell me tonight that the saw does not make a difference. It does. If you find good saw, you pray about it and listen to your spirit, because that saw will bring harvest in multitude if it's the right type of saw. And actually the saws that you have in this, we have in this generation really is ministries. And all ministries are not the same. Are you listening to me? Now I want you to focus in on that precious ointment, and I want you to focus in on it, and I want you to focus in on what she did with it. She released it in Jesus' ministry. Any one of you, and some of you all do have it, when the pastor first made that statement, you just bring $250,000 up here. Okay, it's closed. Let's go to the next general. Some of you all do have it. But as we follow this lesson, now we're going to run into turbulence. We're going to run into, anytime you deal with money, you run into turbulence. You can deal with healing. You can deal with the gifts of the Spirit. You can deal with dancing. You can deal with laughing. But when you start dealing with money, it's turbulent. Winds start blowing. Contrary winds start blowing. And I, you know, Lord, use me on healing. I'm anointed in healing. Use me on something else. You come all the way in the country and got me and dropped that word in my spirit and sent me around the world talking about money. You know, do like you do with Jake. Women die loose. Let me talk about women. Women, y'all loose. You know, Lord. But he want me to go and preach money die loose. And so I have to follow suit. I have to follow suit. You want to put a peg there? Let me put a peg. Let's put a little peg there. Because if money, thou art loose, is biblical. We have a tendency to use our anointing, our power, on everything but money. Just like your body can get loose from sickness, your money can get loose out of the hand of the heathen. Oh, yeah. They say keep putting all these pegs down in the cloud. We're going to clear the clouds off. Cloud off. If you don't want to press in to get your money and say things about money, we're going to clear those clouds up so you can have the former and the latter rain of the anointing to come into your house personally, get you out of debt supernaturally. And the supernatural favor of God come on you. And you make supernatural progress. Instead of just depending on that natural job, living from Friday to Friday. You get in an anointing that every day be Friday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here come the wind. Now we read in 6 and 7 verses. We saw what happened. This woman desired to use her money to enhance and advance Jesus' ministry. And she did what I believe that she was led to do. And then you have verse 8. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, now this is a very crucial moment in this lesson. It's a very crucial moment. To what purpose is this waste? I want you to focus on, we'll deal with the waste, but I want you to focus on the word purpose. If you don't know the purpose of your covenant promise of prosperity financially, the purpose is more important than your pride. Some people pride themselves being broke, pride themselves in not talking about money, pride themselves of being real spiritual. But there's a cause There's a covenant purpose. I think right there we need to look at this. We need to look at a very familiar scripture now. And now the Holy Spirit is going to, I know when I go in a meeting when the Holy Spirit is going to do something. And ooh my, he's going to do some things in here tonight. And some things going to be broken loose in here tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. For you, listen to me, for you, because you are here. Your financial status will begin to change because of revelation knowledge backed up by the anointing. Yokes will be destroyed tonight financially. Burdens will be removed. Now, put your finger there. We'll come back to this story because now I want to deal with purpose. Why should you have your money? Why is it important that you be out of debt and be on ready all the time for any of God's call? Actually, you need to write this note, and I might deal with it more in the morning. Make it one of your desire to be a distribution center for God. Make it one of your desires, or a pipeline, or a banker. In other words, God use you and he piles finances up in you, and you say, now, Lord, I'm on call. Wherever you want it, I'm willing to put it. See, you become a distribution center for God, all right? But I want you to turn, as we talk about purpose, because we miss this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We talk about purpose. We miss this thing, and we need to catch a hold of this thing to understand your purpose is greater than any persecution. The purpose of you having finances and being prosperous is greater than any persecution. Because in coming up here, I was delayed. I fly to Citation 2, got a tremendous pilot, and he called my son prior to picking me up at the airport close to my home. He called my son and said the pressurization wouldn't come up properly in the aircraft. Therefore, he says, well, I said, I got to get there, man. I'm giving the pastor my word. We got to go. You know, I don't want to fly in a dangerous situation, but if any way for us to get there, I want to get there. And he says, normally we fly at 35 to 37,000 feet in the air. But he says, as long as we stay 12 and below, we can handle the pressure. Now, it cut some of our timing off. We were 20 minutes longer flying because we had to fly so low. And what happened in the body of Christ, I saw a good illustration. I said, Lord, so many of the believers are flying at 12,000 when it comes down to finances because they don't want the pressure. But yet they are raping the purpose. I made a mouthful just now. Raping the purpose. Violating the purpose that God wants you to prop. It's not all about you. See, that's the old trick the devil pulled. Leave that money alone because, you know, you don't want to go about covetousness. No, you have to know between the difference between covetousness and covenant. It's a difference there. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll drill a hole in this situation so you can see clearly. And then, I don't like hole drilling too much. I like breakthrough. I don't like penetration too much. I like breakthrough, you know. I don't want no peephole. I want to go on the other side. We'll come back to this verse, but I want to deal with the 18th verse because we need to deal with the 17th verse, but I want to deal with the 18th verse. It says, but Deuteronomy 8, 18. Now remember what we left off in that story. Those boys say, what purpose is this waste? And I said, if you do not know the purpose, you'll call everything waste. So you have to know the purpose. If you don't know the purpose, you're not going to have the drive in you. You're not going to have the tenacity, the boldness in you, the confidence in you to let God provide for you out of the covenant what is rightfully yours. Are you following me? Now, in Deuteronomy 8, 18, it said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Now, listen very carefully. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, a lot of times we stop and we hop and we deal with this power to get wealth. And that's just, it is an anointing that is God's ability that God has given his covenant children to get wealth. But you can't stop there, because if you stop there, you won't understand purpose. Say purpose. If you stop with the power to get wealth, you won't understand purpose, and then selfishness and other things start arising, and accusation might start coming against you because you're standing in the gap and say, God, I'll receive whatever you want me to receive. I'll be blessed. I'll show you strong in the earth's realm. All that see me will know that I'm the seed that the Lord hath blessed. I walk in prosperity. I walk in the fullness. I walk in that abundant life that Jesus provided for me, even died for me, became poor that I might be rich. I walk in that, Lord. See? But you have to know purpose in order to adhere or yield to that type of anointing. Now, every child of God has been empowered to prosper by Almighty God. No, not by your heritage. See, a lot of times we our lineage, we come down the line and live just like everybody lives the same way. Uncle Joe, Uncle Jack, Aunt Sue, on that line, everybody live in the same bracket. Somebody got to break out. Yeah. Talk to somebody, tell him he's talking to me. Tell somebody. And I'm listening. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, it's not all about you. Notice the next part. That he may establish his covenant. Now, any Bible reader could see that your wealth or you being wealthy has something to do with God's covenant. Anybody here? With you receiving your wealth, if he give you, that he give you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. Now, I am literally a wild man in prosperity. And God tell me things, and I share with the body of Christ. I'm telling you, balanced as I could be, word upon word, line upon line. Pastor, don't never worry about me leading these people astray. I won't, because I'm not after money. Money after me. I'm going to make a statement that you're not going to be able to head it through. Your head not going to be able to handle it. But your spirit can. And, you know, I know that in the Bible, the provision is made for everybody to be healed. Is everybody going to get healed? No, no. There's a provision, John 3:16, for everybody to get saved. Is everybody going to get saved? No, no, no. And so, there's a provision in the Bible for every child of God to speak in tongue. Are they all going to speak in tongue? No, you get some denomination talking about speaking in tongue, they'll run you down the track. So don't leave here and misquote me, because I'm about to make a statement that is graceful for the body of Christ. But you need to know this. I never heard it. And you need to know this. The Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said to me, every child of God actually has millionaire status on the inside of them. Now, someone said, whoa. No, no. Is the Spirit of God living on the inside of you?
Yes.
Are you anointed?
Yes.
Piece of cake. And the Lord told me, Pastor, he says, I'm telling you to tell this to them, and until they can digest this some, I'll tell you the rest later. He's just starting off at $1 million status. I didn't say every Christian going to be a millionaire, but I said the status is in there, and those of us who work it and know the purpose for working it, and ready to submit that money to Jesus' ministry as that woman did with that ark. Talking, ho! See. And the disciples there, go back to our text in the 26th chapter. They call it ways because they didn't understand. They didn't understand. We'll build a building. They'll say that's ways. People who don't really understand the covenant, understand the commission, that is, I'll do it, Lord. I sure do it. Turn to Matthew 26, but let me talk to you about this. Let me talk to you about John 14 and 12. The works that I do, shall you do also, right? And then he says what? And greater works than these shall you do because I go unto the Father. Everybody agree with that? That's in the text? The Holy Ghost spoke to me about that text when I was dealing with purpose and meditating on it. And he says to me, and you need to hear this because it has something to do with purpose. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do. I'm going to tell you why we have not been doing some of the greater work. Number one, you having your money is elementary.
That's right.
You didn't hear me. See, we're trying to deal with the biggest and haven't dealt with the smallest yet. Money is elementary in the anointing. That's what the Holy Ghost told me. He said, every child of God should have had their money a long time ago as they walk in the word. Much word as you have on the inside of you, you ought to have your money, plenty of money, and be ready to distribute as God calls you. So we go off in the gifts of the Spirit. We go off in signs and wonders. And here we got money sitting there is the elementary thing. And we have made it the complicated thing. We've made it college stuff and really the elementary stuff, having money. Because you think about money, people think about hard to get and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When he talk about the greater work, this is what the Spirit of God says. When you talk about the greater work, you can't be talking about a higher quality of work than Jesus. So we have to be dealing with a certain amount of quantity because it's more of us. We the body of Christ. So it had to be an element of quantity there. And then the Lord spoke this to me. He says, one of the reasons a greater work is not going on like it should is because the money is not there to be a vehicle for the greater work. Shame on the body of Christ. Now, I'll give you one deeper than that, which will, you'll think I'm going off doctrine, but I'm going to give you one deeper than that. Right now, our tithes are not going to get it. My wife and I was talking the word. We do that, you know, and she pulled on me and I pulled on her. And she said, that's over now, honey, wait now. Don't get out the Bible now. She said, the tithe's not going to get it. I said, wait a minute, don't get no revelation yet now. Hold on. Boy. No, it's right to tithe, but because of a leak, you really, the majority of the body of Christ really don't have enough to tithe what they're supposed to be tithing. Some tithing off 40,000 when they're supposed to be tithing off 400,000. Are you following me? And because of a certain pressure being put on us by the world and by religion and by denomination about money, we sort of try to stay in the middle of the road. No, we got to put some pressure and run over somebody. We got to do something, shift gear. I'm telling you, we got to do something because we're supposed to be in control of everything. We don't supposed to be going to the banker. The banker supposed to be coming to us. The Great Commission. Go ye. Well, he didn't let me get no further than go. Go, money. How you gonna go? Where are you going, down the street? He said, go ye in all the world. couldn't do what I'm doing on a train, catching a ride. Commercial flight. I couldn't do what I'm doing. I couldn't show up here. I'm preaching here. I got to be in Atlanta, Georgia. Preaching with you in the morning. I got to be in Atlanta, Georgia tomorrow night at a minister's conference. I couldn't do what I'm doing and pastoring my church. I couldn't do it without my aircraft. It took money to get that aircraft, millions of dollars. Because the Lord said, go. He told Pastor Daugherty and Sharon, go. And then telling them that, as soon as he told them that, he knew that they needed covenant partners to have the money so they can go and not be confessing and praying about money all the time. Hallelujah. We're going to get some goodies now. I feel my Cheerios in here tonight. I tell you, woo, glory to God. Now, back to Matthew 26. You got that by go? You got that by greater? How many of y'all got that? Do you understand what that means? See, it takes finance. That's why you got to have your money. We're not talking about no cars and houses and dime and all that. Oh, that's Mickey Mouse stuff. You can have that. The Lord wants you to have good things. Why? You represent Him. Why are you trying to buy your kid the best tennis? Why? Why are you trying to buy your kid the best shoes? Why you want your kid to go to school looking decent? One reason, that's your child. Another reason, it shows a reflection on you. These disciples, and actually in John, you find out it was just Judas who made this indictment. Look at verse 8 again, back in Matthew 26. But when the disciples saw it, what they saw? They saw somebody putting up big time in the ministry. That's what they saw. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, what purpose is this waste? You have to know it is not a waste to build this building he talked about. It's not a waste. It's a mission. You have to know that. You have to know the dollars that you're going to give on this thing is not a waste. It's you being a distribution center for God. And when he see you do it, he said, hey, I can trust her. He'll make sure more get to you. I'll trust him. They saw it as a waste. Blinders on. When you got, ooh, Jesus. When you got a revelation about something and the other person don't have the revelation, sometimes it's rough. You start talking about it. Exactly what happened here. This woman had a revelation of Jesus dying and paying the price, and she was releasing that ointment as an act before his burial, and his own disciples did not have the revelation. You have to have a revelation to walk in it. You can't deal with money with your head. You got to have a revelation in your inner man, in your spirit from Almighty God, that the Holy Ghost can talk to your inner man about money. Listen. I'm walking in this revelation. I'm living this revelation. So therefore, I didn't come here to get money from you. I came here to get money to you. See, you don't have to worry about the charlatan aspect because God already blessed me. I just have to find somewhere to put it if you give it to me. So I'm telling you, I'm walking in the revelation daily. Deuteronomy 28 said, blessings shall overtake you. Every morning I wake up and I start tired on my journey. Somebody overtake me. I can't go to the barber shop. I can't go to the pizza shop. Anywhere I go, somebody looking for me. All I want to tell you, children of God, the same anointing belongs to you. Stop being satisfied. Stop being complacent about this. Stop being intimidated by this. It's the devil who do not want you to walk in the fullness of your covenant. He knows once you start walking in your financial prosperity that his days are limited. He knows. That's why he start a fuss, start a cuss when some, oh, yes, Lord. Now, see, can you go here with me? Sitting in the minister's lounge, we call it, right next to my office, on the wall, sort of like a gallery wall, someone blessed me with the great men and women of God who wiped out generation with the anointing. Demonic power was moving, a whole lot of things moved. You had Smith Wigglesworth, right by pictures, Smith Wigglesworth, Jack Cole, Dowie, Miss McPherson, Seymour, A.A. Allen. I mean, just a whole gallery, and they're right in front of my chair where I sat, where I dined at in the minister's lounge. Sitting, waiting for them to bring my food, I was looking at that gallery of great men and women of God. And I didn't name all of them. There's a lot of them up there. And the Lord said this to my utter amazement. Now some of y'all have been in the body of Christ longer than me. And some of y'all probably have studied the word of God more than I have. But I want you to listen to this. The Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, you see those are generals that I use to work in my kingdom. He said, they all were rich because the anointing made them rich. He says, but none of them brought to my children the message on money. They all taught healing. They all taught the gifts of the Spirit, some various type of anointing. He says, none of them never brought the message to my people and stuck with it about finances. Think about that. If God has an anointing here for this, an anointing for that, he has anointing for this also. Yes. Are you following me? Yes. I mean, he never had nobody. I remember Brother Copeland told me he came out in the 70s, they whooped him so bad he went back in. You know, he broke through for us for aircraft, for ministers. I mean, heathen been flying aircraft, going to FBOs for years. But once a minister got one, Brother Copeland was one of the pioneers, he broke through for us and got an aircraft, you know. And let the minister know you can't have one. But man, they give him a tub of time when he did that. But by grace, the mercy of God, he's still here. Strong. Strong. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Listen. You're back in my text with me in 26, right? My teaching gift out tonight. Now, you know, we can run and spit, but if you don't know what's going on, I want the Holy Ghost to speak to your heart tonight and let you know. Just as much as your healing came through the blood, just as much as the new birth came through the blood, your finances came through the blood. We actually talking about blood money. Money that cost God blood. Money that cost Jesus his blood. You gonna sit back and be broke? You gonna sit back and let them tell you you can't have it? And it's part of the covenant? Here in verse 9 is something that you have to be real careful with, but I have to touch on it. Here's their argument. For this ointment, verse 9, might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now, I know biblically the Lord said we have to take care of the poor. And we do that. You understand what I'm saying? And the Lord said, what you give unto the poor, you lend it unto me. In other words, he'll give you back what you give up. Unless it's a special case, you know, that can happen with God. But actually, in the churches, we've been taught to give to the poor, and we have understood given to the prosper. And actually, the prosperity, the prosperity is in the prosper. You have to be open to do what and when and to whoever God tells you to do it to, because every time God, listen to me, no, she's doing a, listen. Every time God asks you to give something, he's trying to get something better to you, because he don't need it. He wants you to give it so he can do something, break through the rim of the devil and the demonic power that's trying to hold you in a certain level. And when you hear God and obey God in the area of finances, they give God an opportunity to bring a breakthrough that the devil can't stop. I remember as a boy, In the Baptist church, we specialize on the poor. And see, people are real touchy about that now. They're real touchy. I'm not saying, I know we're supposed to take, we can't take care of the poor if all of us poor. You follow what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? We can't take care of the poor if all of us poor, we cannot take care of the poor. Now, Let me help you with this, because I know some of y'all say, ooh, and people get real scared about this. Jesus, they get real scared. I never, Pastor, ask nobody for nothing. I never pull on nobody. I tell people I'm blessed. It's just an anointing on me. They say they never seen it in this fashion. Jesus, something Jesus did, man, I never seen it in that fashion. I never seen it either. I'm just preaching, man, in any state I go to. I'm just preaching and it happened.
That's right, man. That's right.
It is an anointing. See, it's a demonstration in the era of finance. And what it doing is, and then I'm gonna get back to the text, it's getting people broke loose from the status quo. You don't have to see no bucket passing by you sometimes. Sometimes you ought to just get up and give. When the man said that, you just get up and move. You see what I'm saying? And it's a freedom there. We need to be freed up so we can give willingly.
Yeah. Amen. Yep. That's right.
Amen. So yes, we're to take care of the poor, but this money wasn't a poor matter. This woman planted that all in the ministry of Jesus. Now Jesus said something about that. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? Now look what he said about her. For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you. And I want to emphasize you or ye. Because you're going to keep the poor poor. If you don't tell them they got to get off their hinder part and do something themselves when you give it to them. You follow what I'm saying? You just handing things out to people. Handing things out to them. Don't keep handing it out to them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about a covenant. Tell them how to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Tell them about the laws of sowing and reaping. Some people keep the poor poor. By just getting a handout, welfare. I preach everybody who sat under me on the for 4 or 5 Sunday, I preach them right off of welfare. They have too much dignity, too much anointing, too much respect for their covenant to let somebody give them a handout. Handout level you off at nothing. But when you learn to fight the good fight of finances and knowing that you have a covenant of prosperity and start moving out in that covenant, you go from level to level to level to level to level to level. No limit. Our God is an unlimited God. He's bigger than your 2 cars and your little house. Our God wants to do more for you, and he wants you to do more for the kingdom if you let him. Somebody say hallelujah in here.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Somebody say praise his holy name.
Praise his holy name.
Somebody say let the Lord be magnified in this place.
Glory to God.
Get your breakthrough. All I tell you, get your breakthrough. Get your breakthrough. That's all I tell you. Get your breakthrough. There's a breakthrough for you tonight. Look at this thing. For she have wrought, verse 10, latter part, a good work unto me. For ye have the poor with you, always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever this gospel shall be preached, I'm preaching tonight, in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial unto her. Now, when you get down to that memorial, you know sometimes people get real strong on this memorial, but I'm going to just tell you a little secret. When you do something for God, he don't forget. And he cannot play even Stephen because he wouldn't be God. If you give him 500, God can't dare give you 500 back because he'd be putting you on the same level with him. He got to knock your socks off so you'll know that it's God who you're dealing with. Are you following me? Now, turn to Matthew's. No. Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and you need to read that text carefully, who he's talking about. Who he's talking about two different, somebody teachable and somebody off on doctrine. Then he get down to the 10th verse, and he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. I believe being broke is the root of all evil, to tell you the truth, by the way. Look at the text. The love of money is the root of all evil. And he says, let me read it just like it. I don't want to misquote it, but you need to, because it's been a stronghold in the area of finance. So I need to just go ahead and pull it down. 1 Timothy 6:10. Are you with me? For the love, and you want to listen up now because I'm going to say something about this. I'm going to paraphrase or give a revelation about it that will settle something for you real strong tonight. Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Am I doing pretty good?
Yeah.
I'll go keep on anyway, whether you say it or doing good or not. You get it. Where was I? Yeah, 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is to read this with me. Jesus, we need to read this and get this thing off our life. Let's go. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, underline coveted after. Ready, let's go from day. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, I want to read one verse before I tell you the real punchline for this thing. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 10. And I want you to see something in that 22nd verse. Proverbs 10:22 is the answer to this thing. Remember we said, money cometh. We didn't say, let's go after money. That's the word the Lord gave. The Lord gave the word, money cometh unto the body of Christ. In other words, we don't have to go after it. Our anointing will cause it to come after us. You see what Proverbs 10:22 say? Read it out loud. You see the difference between the two? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow. Now just put in your note, blessing or the blessed mean empowered to prosper. Say this with me. I am
as a child of God,
empowered
to prosper
with a purpose. Now you have to speak to yourself and you have to know that you are anointed to prosper. I tell you, Ain't nothing wrong with being rich. If you got your heart straight. Because then you can give and give and give and give. My wife and I paid a woman house off the other day. The Lord told her to do it. There's a man who is receiving. See, we're supposed to be helping each other, the body of Christ, because the Abrahamic covenant said more than be blessed, you know. There's a man taking chemo now, and he talked to me on the phone, and he said the union paying him half of his salary, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, yeah, and you pay the other half until he go back. So I said, all the church will take care of it. Hallelujah. The Lord said, I wasn't talking about no church. I'm talking about you and Carolyn. So we in the process. Every week, we give them the other half. Union pay half. Anointed man of God who know his covenant pay the other half. What a thrill. There's no greater thrill when you can help somebody out of a rut like that. Here's what I want to tell you. When you look at 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I'm going to give you something. Having the wrong relationship with material things is the root of all evil. Because money has no character but the character of the person that has the money. Now, one of the reasons we don't have our money, we don't qualify. What you mean I don't qualify? I'm a tither. Tithing alone won't qualify. You're tithing to put you in a position. But God has to know that he has to know that that money is not going to draw you from him. Money will amplify your holiness or your sinfulness. Let me say that again. Money is an amplifier. It either will amplify your holiness or your sinfulness. And until you qualify, there's a certain level you got to stay on or you'll destroy yourself. Now, I give you one of the keys to qualifying. Not having the wrong relationship with material things. I have a lot of good things the Lord has blessed me with. The Lord give you the desire of your heart. But I got all those things in their place. Are you following me? And listen, let me tell you something else. Don't hide your stuff. Don't hide your blessing. Drive it. Bring it out in the open. Park it under the light. So God can get a testimony. Preachers bad at that. Preachers been hiding that stuff for years. All you got to do is do what's right. Render unto Caesar what is to Caesar, and render unto God what is to God. And you ain't, nobody can't bother you. But the people has to see some Abrahams today. They got to see some Isaac. They have to see some Jacob. They have to see some Joe today. And you're looking at one. And I'm not hiding nothing from nobody. God give it to me. He can keep it for me. That in mind. Remember the rich young ruler? 10th chapter of Mark. Turn there. I'm going to give you another key. One is not having the wrong relationship with material. So anything you got all your heart out on that is material, get that heart straight quick. That's what's holding your money back. Mark 10, you got that rich young ruler. He's rich. He proclaimed that he's serving God. He's keeping all the commandment. Jesus said to him, one thing thou lackest, sell what you have and give to the poor. You saw that? Huh? Then the Bible said he went away, what? Sorrowful. He was grieved, right? What did the text say? What did it say? I got to read that. But he went away. What it says? Read it out. Grief. What caused grief? Separate from that money, right? Huh? Come on now. Don't do me that. Separation from that money. He ain't going to give it up. But yet he got all these commandments he keeping all that. Verse 22. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Now, you know great possession had him. You know that much. But what I want you to see, the first part of it. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. Why? Why? Sam Regan, he that is faithful over a few things, I'll make him ruler over many. Now, he was sad at that saying. Is that in your Bible? He was grieved, right? Why? Someone said because he didn't want to part with the money. Could you see that? He knew he had to give that money up if he wanted to obey what the Lord said, so he became sad because that's what the Lord told him to do, right? Are you still here? Here's something I don't want you to ever forget. You must see giving as gain and not loss. See, a lot of times the enemy make us think we're giving an offering, we're losing something. No, no, you're not losing something. You're gaining something. Because the law of seed time and harvest, when you plant a seed in the kingdom, it's God's requirement to multiply that seed. And you don't come back and get the same seed, don't come back to you, but a harvest come back to you. So begin to see giving as gain, and then your spirit will be more open when the Holy Ghost talk to you about giving something. Because you know now you're about to work God's system. See. You give with expectation. You sow to reap. No farmer don't go out and just put seed out in the ground and say, that's it, honey, it's over. I got the seed in the ground. Let's go worry about where we're going to get something to eat from now. No, that farmer said, I'm hoeing around this row right here because I got a seed about to sprout up. I know I plant it. I'm expecting something to sprout up out of this ground. Are you following me? Now, go to Matthew chapter 5. Oh, my. Matthew's 5. I'm going to show you something that, and I'm going to show you something else. And I'm going to show you and show you and show you until I get through. Y'all want it? Because, you know, I had a little hit twice. But, you know, the Holy Ghost can hit this place real strong. I'd be teaching like this, you know, and all of a sudden, boy, I call it a gusher. Spirit of God, wipe the whole place out. Power of God, come in the whole place. Because this message is important to God. God, tired of his people eating the crumb. When he says, I have prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemy, come to the table and dine. I'm brought to the thought, Matthew, but I'm brought to the thought. I'm trying to stay tied to my notes. I'm trying to come down them steps. I don't know what to do. Like, I don't need these notes tonight. They're not helping me very much. I'll come down a while. Because something was brought to mind when I told you to turn to Matthew 5, and I'll go over it because I might not get back to it, but there's something the Holy Ghost alert me about. I had a Holy Ghost alert of not knowing what's rightfully yours. If you don't know, see Carolyn Thompson, I've been married to Carolyn 28 years. Now, that's a pretty black woman too. But I know, I don't care how pretty she is, how fine she is, I don't care. I know that's my wife. So I ain't going for too much. You understand? That's your wife? You know that's your wife. How long have you been married? 26 years. You know that's your wife. So you ain't got to ask no question. If somebody misused her or somebody slammed the door in her face, he don't have to go pray about it. What's your name? Trudy. Right? I'm saying it right. He know Trudy is his wife. So, I mean, he don't have to be praying about that. Well, let me go back to my marriage now because I don't want you to be mad. I don't have to pray about sex. I know the Bible. See, when you know something is rightfully yours, you got it. That's not X-rated, is it? Woo, man, it's good preaching in here, man. I know you had some fun, boy. These people are trained, that's why. You go to some churches, boy, you wish your aircraft was still running and turn back in the same way, and you wish you had a race car you can jump in and go back to the aircraft and say, take me home quickly. Matthew 5:6, and I'll show you what the Holy Ghost dropped in my spirit a few minutes ago. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, empowered to prosper are those which do hunger and thirst after my covenant and is ready to execute my will. Empowered. When that anointing of prosperity come on you, you have a sweatless anointing when it comes down to finances. Sweatless. I mean, you don't, I very seldom confess money. I very seldom say anything about money. Money just, Deuteronomy 28, we've been reading that too long, nobody been living it. But I'm telling you now, and I'm telling your body quiet, listen to me. It's there. And God's word meant what it said. You just got to put yourself in a position to obey God. And regardless of what anybody else say, you stick with the word. Do what the word tell you to do. Do what the Spirit of God. Because there'll be many that try to turn you around when you get on financing. They'll try to turn you around. But you can't let that happen. Somebody got to stick it out. Somebody say, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Say, and all that within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless his holy name.
Now, that anointing is falling on many in here tonight. Promotion, ideas, concepts, insight, revelation. And it get on you. You see the anointing, it get on you. But you got to be willing to receive. Now, it's not going to get on cocky people. You know what cocky people? Cocky people who think they know everything. Empowered to prosper are they that hunger and thirst after the covenant.
Yes.
See? Because you'll be like that woman. Yeah. You'll be available to plant in Jesus' ministry. Do you know this Jesus' ministry here? Yes. It's not building ministry. It's Jesus' ministry. He's using him as delegated authority. Now, what the Lord dropped in my spirit, you remember the prodigal son? Huh? We hop on that younger son. And the younger son is an example of why God can't give some of us some money. Because we can't be rebuked no more. Or stop and say, that's not right. Because we'll take our money and hop to another church where we can be in control. I remember a young man telling me one time his highest tithe. Told him, y'all got to stop running this, Karen. He didn't want him to run, you know. Man, I got to, how you getting to the church and you can't run? He didn't want him to run. He didn't want him to laugh. High as tithe. So he called him on the carpet. He said, if y'all don't stop all that running and shouting in here, I'm pulling my tie. And the preacher said, well, we're going to run. And he pulled his tie. He said, all right, my membership is no longer here. I'm leaving this place. we're gonna run. He said, I'm leaving this place. Oh, Lord, give me a little more time. See, we're about to hit that gushy. See, they hit on me. Give me a little more time, Lord. Anointing on her, too. That's the Holy Ghost, man. That's the Holy Ghost. But he said, I'm pulling out. And he got up from the desk and got in his car and pulled off. And that preacher said, my God, my highest tithe is gone. And the Lord tap him on the shoulder and say, I'm still here. No, your high tithe is not gone. I'll see to the ministry. That's why we men of God and women of God got to stand on the wall and declare to you the truth whether you like it or not, because God always going to take care of a church where the pastor declare the truth and love the people and tell them right from wrong. Now that prodigal son, I don't have time to turn there, but that prodigal son, the 15th chapter of Luke, was not really the prodigal. That young one wasn't the prodigal. Why we got to turn there? Turn there. Because this thing is so powerful. Oh, Jesus. I don't know if I'm helping you any, but I'm getting so blessed down here. I'm telling you, I'm to get some of this stuff out, you know. Hallelujah. See, the younger son, we always dealt with the younger son.
Yeah.
And there's a mighty lesson taught with this elder son. And I'm telling you, 95% of the body of Christ broke. And we have a credit card mentality. And may I say to you, your job is not your source. Your job is the place you go to get seed. God is your source. And what we have tried to do, we have tried to live off of the seed. See, there's not a job in this world that can pay you enough to live like God wants you to live. God, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell it, Lord. God really wants you to show off. God really wants you to show off so you can see. The sinner can't see your heart, but they can see where you live at. See? Go on, let God bless you. Just go ahead and let him bless you. Say, Lord, I believe that. I believe you want me to have the best. I believe you want me on top. I believe you want me to be a big giver. I believe you want me to prosper. I believe you want me to have more than enough. I believe you want me blessed, Lord. Go ahead on, bless me. I'll receive it. I'll wear it. I'll use it. I'll glorify you. I'll magnify you. I'll tell them you did it for me. I'll run. I'll shout. I'll jump. I'll dance. I'll tell them. Go on, let the Lord bless you. You don't know how bad the Lord want to get you out of debt. Somebody got to tell me, Hapishaka Mansolomon. Don't tell me. Let me tell you something. That woman's husband, the prophet, died, and the creditor was coming to get her two sons to make them slaves. And that woman called for the man of God and said, man of God, you know my husband was a man of God, and he left me in bad condition. See, that preacher should have never died and left that woman in bad condition. Yeah. It's because preachers don't understand that they're supposed to be blessed. Amen. Say, my husband died and left me broke, and they're coming to get my creditor, and the man of God said, what you have so I can activate your faith? What kind of seed you have? She said, I have a little oil. She said, I want you to borrow every pot in the neighborhood. Tell them you're going to bring it back, but just borrow every vessel. And then I want you to shut the door because you don't cast pearl before swine. Somebody going to come along doubting what you're doing. Sometimes you don't need to tell nothing to nobody. Don't tell your testimony too fast. Some testimonies you don't pull, tell too fast. She got in there, her and her son, and she was pouring it all, and that all wouldn't stop pouring. Partner, they fill all the vessels. She asked her son, once you fill them all, do they have any more vessels? Said, Mama, you got them all. What she did? She went back to the man of God. And she told the man of God, and the man of God said, sell all, pay your debt, and live off the rest. Now, my brothers and sisters, you can't tell me that wasn't supernatural debt cancellation. I believe in the supernatural. How many of y'all believe in the supernatural? I believe in the supernatural, man. If you take the supernatural from me, man, I'm ready to die. Just take me out of here. I'm living on the supernatural, man. I don't want to go back to the natural, man. I don't want to live from Monday to Friday dealing with the clock and the calendar and don't know I got a supernatural God over me, a God that can do it. Is anything too hard for God? God can wipe your Mickey Mouse bills out tonight if he wants. He's God. dare not serve a God. I won't serve a God who can't do supernatural things. You got to expect your bills to be paid off. You can live debt free. You're in a debt free ministry. There's a debt free lifestyle set up for you in here. We got on the world system, we ought to be on the word system. Somebody help me up in here. It's money with a mission. You got to have your money because we got a great mission. We come to the Son of Man, come to seek and save that which is lost. That's part of the mission. Are you listening to me? Another part is, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It takes money to do that. Then the third part, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it to the overflow, abundantly. That's another part of the money. That elder son didn't even know what was rightfully his. He'd been there all the time. And some people in the church, you've been right here, you've been serving, you'll do whatever pastor asks you to do, but you still don't have your money, because until you come to the position that you know that you're anointed to prosper and you don't have to put up with this world mess anymore, you can move in the supernatural and start living like a king. You belong to a royal family. That elder son didn't even know it. You see, the other story is right there. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now listen to them. Are you listening? Now the Amplified Bible put it another way. The kingdom of God actually means God's way of doing things right. So we put that in mind. It says, seek ye God's ways of doing things in his covenant. Because righteousness is a covenant word. Redemption is a covenant word. Seek ye God's ways of doing things in his covenant, and all these things will be added to you. Well, the law of seed time and harvest is in the covenant. Reaping and sowing and reaping is in the covenant. Tithes and offering is in the covenant. If you get locked up in God's ways of doing things in his covenant, then the covenant become responsible for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me 5 or 10 more minutes here. Hallelujah. Give me 5 or 10 more minutes.
No, stop.
Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We need much knowledge and wisdom to properly execute kingdom business financially. Amen. I'm going to say that to you again now. As you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, I'm going to say that to you again, because I'm about to show you a verse now that will bring water to your eyes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Thank you, Lord. We need much knowledge and wisdom to properly execute kingdom business financially. If I'm going to help orchestrate a mission for God, I'm not going to read no 50 scriptures on it. It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. Okay. And see, when you're talking about money, like, see how quiet it is in here? It's because, see, and many hallelujahs going on here now. I understand. Don't get me wrong, I understand. But I'm aiming to change that. Amen. See what I'm saying? I'm working on it. I'm not putting you down. I'm not trying to call you broke. I know you got your confession, but it's time for manifestation now. See, I'm not talking about no confession here. Now I'm talking about manifestation. You know, God do manifest things. We done got so confession prone that we think we don't, we're going to confess. It's time for something to show up. So it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God's way of doing things right in his covenant. That's really what he's saying. God's ways of doing things right in his covenant. Now, you know Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, what it says? I'll show you one better than that. Turn to Job 36. I'd have used some scriptures tonight, boy, but I'm just enjoying myself. Job 36. Job 36 says, I want you to see this. I know you've seen it before, but I want to see it in the context in which we're teaching tonight. Y'all love me, I know. And see, you're not a white man. I want you to understand that. And you're not a black man. I want you to understand that. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of white people are going to miss out on this anointing because of sitting back in your whiteness. I'm going to get the black folk in a few minutes. Just hold on. But this will not come by superiority. Thoughts or anything, you got to come by covenant. So don't you sit back and let the black folks get all the money. You black folks, I want to talk to you all, stop crying about somebody holding you down. I got news for the white and the black tonight. I'm not white nor black. I'm a covenant man, and nobody can stop me from being blessed. That's the way you got to see it. See yourself, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your last name is. You see yourself as a covenant woman, and nobody can stop you because Almighty God will lift you up. Look at somebody and tell them what you are. I'm a covenant man. I'm a covenant woman. I have a covenant with Almighty God. Granddaddy might not have made it. Grandmother might not have made it. My uncle might not have made it. My nephews might not make it. But bless God, I'm going to make it because I got the anointing of God upon me, and the Spirit of God is moving in my life. Somebody shout hallelujah in here. Somebody declare tonight is my night. My breakthrough come tonight in Jesus' name. I'll never be broke another day in my life. You better say it. You sit around here, you better say it. I'll never be broke another day in my life.